morning. Welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm Pastor David Gennaro, and this week I'm going through the book of Philippians. I'm looking at some of the key teachings. So far, what we have seen is that our circumstances should not dictate for us if we are going to be content in life, if we are going to be able to have joy in life. Paul writes the letter of Philippians from a prison cell in chains in, from a worldly perspective, terrible circumstances, and yet he has joy, and he writes in Philippians that he has learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. What is that secret? Well, that's what the book of Philippians tells us. And what Philippians tells us is that it's not about your circumstances, it's how you interpret your circumstances. And I've shared a little bit with you, I'm going to continue to do so through the week, that this is what modern psychology says as well. Your circumstances do not determine your happiness, it is how you interpret your circumstances. But what I will argue is that only the Bible and only the truth revealed in the Bible about who God is, that He is in control, that He loves us, that He has a good purpose for all things that we are going through, only when you can see and believe those truths as God communicates them through the Bible, do you actually have a real, objective, truthful way of looking at your circumstances and interpreting them in a positive way that can bring joy to your life. And that's exactly what Paul does throughout the book of Philippians. So let me give you another example of this in Philippians. We've looked at chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, and we've seen how Paul is rejoicing that he's in chains, not because he enjoys personally being in chains, but because he sees that God is using it to advance the gospel, which is what Paul is really most passionate about in life. So he doesn't view his circumstances from, how is it going to affect my comfort, safety, and security? He interprets his circumstances through how is it going to advance the gospel? And he always has cause to rejoice. So he goes on in verse 15 to say, "It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill." So Paul has already said that because he is in prison, people are preaching the gospel more. They're emboldened by the fact that Paul is in prison. He now introduces that something's going on where there are actually two different reasons why some preachers are preaching the gospel more boldly. One is a good reason. He says some out of goodwill. And he goes on to describe this group in Philippians 1:16. He says, "The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel." So this group of preachers that's preaching out of goodwill, they love Paul. They know Paul is innocent of the charges that have led him to be put in prison. They know he's in prison simply for faithfully preaching the gospel. And they say, "You know what? I've been a little hesitant to risk being arrested and put in prison for preaching before, but if Paul's doing it, if Paul's in prison right now, I can go out and preach the gospel too." And so they're doing it because they are moved by what Paul is enduring, and so they're preaching the gospel. But there's this other group, Paul says, who are doing so, who are preaching Christ out of envy and rivalry. And he goes on to say about them in verse 17 that they do so out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. So who is this other group of preachers? Well, they look at Paul being arrested, and they think of some of their disagreements with Paul. They have some issue with how Paul preaches to Gentiles, how he welcomes them into the church the same as Jews. There are some disagreements maybe over method. We know in the book of Acts that there are some sharp disagreements. Even among true Christian preachers, in Paul's day, many opposed some of his positions and some of his methods. And so these preachers say, "See, why would God let Paul languish away in prison for over 3 years if God approved of Paul's teaching and practice? This vindicates us. This shows that we were right all along about Paul. This is God you know, kind of keeping Paul on the sidelines because his message or his methods have been wrong. And this gives us an opportunity to shine and become the real leaders of these churches throughout the Roman world. And so they look at Paul being in prison as an opportunity for them to gain an advantage over him in some ongoing debates about how to do church or you know, what the gospel message is precisely. They're genuine Christians. So church splits and some disagreements among the church, they go all the way back to the beginning. Paul looks at this circumstance, and he could interpret it this way. He could say, after all I've done for the church, after all the things I've been through for the sake of the gospel, all the people I've trained and led to faith in Christ and all that I've done, these opponents of mine are taking advantage of me being in prison. I'm enduring chains. I'm here in this prison cell, and they're out there enjoying freedom, and they view this as an opportunity to gain an advantage over me. You know, this is outrageous. You know, who do these people think they are? Don't they know I am the Apostle Paul? Shouldn't they be concerned about me instead of looking to gain an upper hand in some kind of argument? And he could go on and on about how childish they are and wrong they are and how great he is and how much he's enduring suffering and, you know, how angry he is at these people. That would be a typically a worldly way of interpreting these circumstances. But that's not what Paul does. Paul recognizes that it's going on, but then he says this in verse 18. He says, but what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. So Paul doesn't interpret this circumstance as, oh, you know, how unfairly am I being treated? How wrong are they to talk about me this way? No, he just sees that even though they might be doing so with wrong motives, they're preaching Christ, people are hearing the gospel, people are getting saved, and so he rejoices. What is important to him, what he calls here the important thing, is that God is being glorified and the gospel is advancing through what Paul is going through. And that's what matters most, and so he's going to rejoice. If his own comfort, safety, and security mattered most to him, he would have no cause for rejoicing here. But when the gospel matters most, Paul shows us that he can rejoice in any and every circumstance. And when he says, because of this I rejoice, yes, and I will continue to rejoice, that's kind of a preview to what happens in Philippians 4, where Paul wraps up his argument and says, rejoice in the Lord always, I will say it again, rejoice. In other words, this perspective on life that I have, it should be shared by all Christians. Rather than focusing on, you know, are you being treated fairly? Are people thinking about you, respecting you enough, talking about you fairly? You know, are you getting what you deserve in life in terms of security, financial prosperity, and so forth? No, that's not what you should use as the test of evaluating or interpreting what's happening to you. Instead, your goal in life should be God's glory and the advancing of the gospel. And Paul's telling us when that is what you really love the most and what you want to have happen the most through your life, then you will interpret your circumstances through those things. And according to Paul, which is part of the Bible, so I believe this is God's promise, you will always have cause to rejoice. This is what Paul means when he says, all things work together for the good to those who love God. You know, if you love God, if you glorify God as the goal of your life, then you can be sure that God will let nothing happen to you that doesn't ultimately serve to advance his glory and the gospel. And that brings you joy. Now, question, how do we do this? How do we truly make glorifying God and advancing the gospel the first priority of our life? It's one thing to say it, it's another thing to really do it. And Paul really does it, and I think in Philippians, and I think we have examples from psychology that backs up in research that Paul is absolutely right. He does this. We'll see how tomorrow. Until then, remember, you can trust the Bible.